Hello there. Welcome to the Expressive Mom Show. Miriam Slotherig here, and it's always so wonderful to have you along. And I want to talk about something extremely important. Many kids, starting around junior high school, want to fall into the popular crowd. They want to fall in with the popular crowd. They're very concerned whether they're going to be popular or whether they're worried that they're going to be the nerds or the geeks or what have you. And in this podcast, we're going to have a deeper look into this. And I have two guests on this podcast who's going to be talking about this. They are David and Jonathan Bennett. And let's just start with David Bennett's bio. He is a teacher at a private high school in Ohio with over 10 years of teaching experience. He's also an author and speaker, and his writings are read over a million times a year online and have been referenced in many media outlets, including the New York Times, Huffington Post, and the BBC. He earned a bachelor's degree in psychology from The Ohio University, where he was inducted into the prestigious Phi Beta Kappa Honor Society. He graduated with a master's degree from the Emory University in 2002. Drawing on personal experience in the classroom and scientific research into the science of social success and popularity, he speaks, consults, and leads classes related to dating, relationships, and social skill development in the Central Ohio area. And when working with teens and their parents, he addresses topics such as overcoming shyness, making friends, and anti-bullying. He's the author of 6 books, including the Teen Popularity Handbook. And Jonathan Bennett is a writer, consultant, and business owner whose online content is read, watched, and accessed by over 1.5 million people a year. He had co-authored 6 books and is an in-demand speaker and consultant. He is an administrator at a drug treatment facility, certified counselor, and a professor. He has partnered with Dating Directions Affinity Matchmaking, the largest matchmakers in the Columbus, Ohio metro area, helping men and women and their kids become more confident and attractive through consulting, public speaking classes, and writing. With teens, he primarily focuses on social skills development, anti-bullying efforts, positive leadership, and raising self-esteem. And he has a bachelor's degree from The Ohio University and master's degree from Emory University. He is a member of the Phi Beta Kappa, and he is the author of 6 books and regularly contributes articles to several websites. And his primary hobby is fitness-related activities, and he loves running extreme races like the Tough Mudder. I'd love to take this opportunity to welcome both David and Jonathan Bennett. Hello, guys.
Hi.
We're so happy to have us.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on. So this is going to be a very interesting podcast, because I'm just going to tell you right now, I was not popular in high school. I was the the outcast. So this is going to be a little foreign to me, because I still am not very popular, you know, and that's fine. So now I'm going to ask, do you believe that learning social skills is just as important as getting a formal education for teen success? Because, you know, the thing is, I think a lot of parents ignore the social skill developments. And this is what I've been noticing. So I'd love it if you could explain this.
Well, yeah, this is David, by the way. We're twin brothers, so we'll always identify which one of us is talking.
Okay.
It's just a little confusing if we don't identify. Yeah, actually, it's extremely important. In fact, there are quite a few studies that have been done that show that in some ways, if you're talking about career success, future career success, social skills might even be more important than technical knowledge in some ways. For example, I just read about a study recently that they studied actually social skills in kindergartners. And what they did was they found that they followed kindergartners from kindergarten to 25 years old. So it was a 25-year-long study. And what they found was is that the kids who had social skills as kindergartners were much more successful later in life. Social skills as a kindergartner correlated with career success. And actually, it's kind of depressing, but the kids with limited social skills were actually more likely to be arrested, binge drink, and be in public housing. So it just shows, and they have other studies as well that show that anywhere from up to 85% of job success is related to your personality, not so much your education or knowledge or intelligence. So social skills are very important, but like you mentioned, a lot of parents, they don't really, social skills, they're not really on the parents' radar. Right. And that's why we do what we do, to try to increase that awareness and let parents know. I mean, and like you said, there's nothing wrong with being unpopular. You know, we have to remind people that it's okay mm-hmm. to not want to be the life of the party and all that. But what we're about is giving people that, and teens especially, who want to improve their social skills, who aren't necessarily
right.
happy being the shy person in each group, not necessarily
right.
happy being the only person at the dance without a date, you know, to give them certain skills that can help them overcome those things to the extent that they want to. I mean, if they're happy not going to a dance, if they're happy not having a date, if they're happy not giving a presentation or being nervous, I mean, that's okay. We're not judging that. But those that want to improve themselves, there are tips and tricks that they can do to improve those things.
So how do you define teen popularity?
This is John.
Go ahead, John.
I'll take this one. We define popularity in a very positive sense. In other words, we don't think popularity is bullying. It's not the mean girls. It's not the football player giving, you know, someone a swirly in the bathroom. You know, that's not the popularity we speak about.
Right.
The popularity we speak about, and that is actually correlated with the success later in life, and not even later in life, but in high school and junior high, and even elementary, as David pointed out with the kindergarten study, it actually looks at positive traits. Traits like confidence, traits like standing up for yourself and others, assertiveness,
right.
conversation skills, rapport building, being independent, leadership is a big one. That's the way we define popularity. And really, ultimately, these are the traits that allow kids to get involved in sports, get involved in clubs, and reach out in ways that get them a lot of friends, that might make them popular with someone they want to date. So, and I think, sadly, a lot of people have a view of popularity that is very negative. You know, they
yeah.
might have had bad experiences in high school, or
yep.
maybe their child gets left out. But, and I think we run up against that problem a lot, is that we say, hey, we want to help your kid be popular. And a lot of people who may have had those issues themselves think, hey, they want my kid to be a bully and I want nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, we try to create the skills that lead to success, that help them get along with teachers and that kind of thing. So I guess for us, it's more of a positive popularity.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, there is that notion that a lot of teens that are popular, they turn into quote-unquote jerks or the mean girls. So thanks for bringing that out.
Oh,
so,
no problem. This is David. I'm just saying, no problem. We're glad to do it that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now let's talk about some of the social mistakes that quote-unquote unpopular kids make. Like, what makes them unpopular? What makes them the quote-unquote nerds of the school?
Well, I mean, this is David again. Keep in mind that, you know, there's nothing wrong necessarily with being a nerd. There's nothing wrong with having academic interests. There's nothing wrong with
mm-hmm.
having musical
sure.
interests, or even sports
sure.
sports interests.
Yep.
But in fact, what we teach in our book is that, you know, you can, you know, really in school, popularity is more about skills than it is about your hobbies, really.
Right.
There are kids who are in band, who are great at math, who are captains of the football team, who are also popular. But some of the mistakes that unpopular people make is that, for one, they can be very limited in their understanding of reaching out to people. You know,
right.
they might be very negative about, for example, you know, you have the attitude that, like, for example, a football player might take the attitude, well, I can't talk to a nerd because he's too smart for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or the nerdy girl might say, well, I can't smile at the football player because he's just going to pick on me. You know, even though there might not be any evidence that that particular football player is a jerk. In fact, he might be a good guy. So we find that a lot of people that are unpopular kind of don't reach out and expand beyond their social circle.
Right,
circle.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Another
and
thing
I
they
admit,
don't do is, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I admit I had that attitude as well. You know, I saw the popular girls, oh, I want nothing to do with them because they want nothing to do with me. So, yeah, you know what, you make assumptions, and that's what happens.
We do, and that's, again, our definition of popularity is actually about reaching across cliques, about reaching out to different types of people. And part
right.
of that means you have to take a little bit of an open attitude toward people you might have prejudged. And
right.
in our book, the Teen Popularity Handbook, we mention, you know, you never know when, you know, part of the attitude that we try to cultivate in our clients in the book is that you know, give to others and you'll get something in return, and then you can keep giving back. When you give something to the world, when you give something to others, people value that. You know, whether what you give is being funny, so you're the guy or girl that brightens up people's day, maybe you give a talent to the world, you play an instrument, you are, you know, great at running a football, maybe your talent is, you know, you're academically gifted. But you got to give something out there to the world. You know, it's kind of like, you know, people will say, well, no one likes me, but yet, and then you ask them, well, what have you actually done to reach out to people? And the answer is, well, nothing really. So part of becoming more popular is taking some what we call social risks, you know, saying hi to somebody you maybe wouldn't have said hi to, or going out for the team you never thought you were able to go out for, talking to the teacher, you know, instead of like bad-mouthing the teacher and assuming that that teacher is out to get you, go out and talk to the teacher instead, open a channel of communication. So take some social risks that involve reaching out to other people.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. So now that you bring this out, now can anyone, even these shy kids, become popular?
This is Jonathan. I'll take this one. We're kind of going back and forth, but as twins, we often took turns.
It's okay.
It is very appropriate. Yeah, I mean, our position is that anyone can be popular. I mean, I think when it comes to popularity, shy kids are assumed to have a disadvantage. But I think, you know, you probably remember, we remember extremely extroverted people who were unpopular because they actually couldn't shut up. So really, lots of people have trouble being popular, have trouble with social skills. But, you know, shyer people certainly have a harder time in the sense that unless people are reaching out to them, it might be tougher for them to reach out to others. But our position on popularity is that anyone can be popular, that we see popularity not as kind of like a personality type. It's not something that you're born with. And now, certainly people who are naturally a little more outgoing, a little more easygoing, maybe have a natural charm, are probably going to do better. But popularity is ultimately about having the skills to be popular, the social skills. And the good thing about a skill is that you can learn it, or you can be, you know, someone can teach you a skill, whether it's how to put a car together or whether it's how to go out and talk to the crush that you've had from afar. And this is where I think it comes to a lot of parents don't realize, and you know, schools and even teens and kids themselves, they don't realize that you can change your social skills. So you're not, yes, someone might be born a little more outgoing, but someone who's not born outgoing can learn the skills to go out and get what they want. You know, they might never be that person who, you know, talks up a storm around a stranger, but they can be that person who nonetheless approaches a stranger, maybe builds rapport, carries on a conversation, and then can ask that person out on a date. Because
you know, and another thing I'd like to bring out is that I remember seeing, and I mean, I admit I was guilty of this too when I was in high school. A lot of unpopular kids are extremely jealous of the popular kids, and that also places a damper on them learning the skills too, right?
Yes, it does. This is David. It does, and of course, that's the natural, I guess, attitude is when you don't have something, you get upset at those who do.
Right.
Which is normal. I mean, that's a normal emotion, but what we try to say is, okay, that is an attitude that's just going to make you go deeper and deeper into the place you don't want to be, basically.
Right.
So you're upset that you're not popular, therefore you're going to become resentful and become even less popular, right? So, what we say is, you know what? Take what you can learn from that popular person. You know, what is that popular person doing? What's that person thinking and doing that makes them successful? And in fact, a good friend of ours who kind of started this whole thing, he's a really outgoing guy. My brother and I met him. We were friends with him. And we noticed that he got free stuff all the time. Like he'd get free coffee. He'd get free. And we're like, how do you do this? And he's just like, well, just who I am. And so we sat down and we're like, let's figure out what you're doing that gets you all this free stuff. And that's kind of what we did with popularity. We asked ourselves, what are the people that are socially successful? What are they thinking? What are they doing? And so what we challenge teens to do is, instead of saying, I don't care about being popular, and of course lying through their teeth, you know, I don't care if I have a date for the prom, when really what they mean is I really want a date for the prom, but I don't know how to do it. Instead, figure out, like, you know, most teens can do research if they want. They can research how to fix a problem. So the problem is I can't get a prom date, so what socially, what can I do to get a prom date? And that's the type of stuff that we want to help teens with, those skills to ask people to prom, to make new friends, to stand up to bullies. That's what we're about.
Right, okay. Are there any other tips and techniques that you'd like to share?
You going to do this one, David?
No, you got it, Jonathan.
Okay.
Yeah, we share. Such good social skills.
A few tips we have. We have several. One of them is to take a risk. To take a risk a day. Taking a risk. I mean, not dangerous risks. We're not telling people to go out and, you know, like, you know, hang off a bridge or anything. But one of the things we ask people do is to take a positive, helpful risk every day. And that means that something that they normally wouldn't do, they go out and actually do. So it might be, hey, today my goal is I'm going to talk to someone that I normally wouldn't talk to. Or today I'm going to go outside my normal comfort zone and sit next to someone in the lunchroom that I normally wouldn't sit next to. And that's an important activity because it's so easy to get in routines, in a comfort zone that keeps people unpopular, keeps them without friends, that, you know what, there are some people who others come to them. But for most people, if they're lonely, if they're upset about being lonely, they're going to have to take the bull by the horns and do it themselves. That's one little tip that we give to actually both teens and adults, because we found that adults are actually worse about taking risks even than teens are. Granted, teens take a lot of bad risks at times, but a lot of them are willing to take the good risks. Another technique that we do is, and we do this with a lot of our adults too, is we will take them to a mall around our area. We live in Columbus, Ohio, and we will play what we call the hi game, and we will have them go in that mall and say hi to random strangers. And it's funny because that's a lot of people start out deathly afraid of that, but we turn that into a competition where David and I and whoever we're taking out, whoever says hi to the most people wins. And by the end of it, everybody is almost, not literally fighting, but, you know, struggling to see who can say hi to the most people. And it really shatters people's expectations. And you know what? Most people say hi back. And even the ones who don't say hi, you can even have a good laugh about it.
Those
are kind of the examples of the techniques that we use. We really try to change people's understanding of social interaction, and especially help people get over their fears. Because most people who aren't good with social interaction, it's because they have those voices in their head that tell them they can't do it. And if we can show them that they can do it and overcome it and quiet those voices in their head, then it works.
Right. Okay. Now, I'd also like to know how these skills can help teens deal with bullying, because this is also a major, major, major problem.
Absolutely. And this is David. And I'm a teacher. I teach high school, and Jonathan has teaching experience as well. Our understanding of bullying, they've actually done studies that have shown that most anti-bullying programs actually led to an increase in bullying in most schools, which sounds kind of counterintuitive, but
Doesn't surprise me. But most
anti-bullying programs are about identifying a victim and then having outsiders, like a teacher, protect that victim. The victim is upset with something, they go to an authority figure. The problem with that is that most analyses show that most bullies are very, very smart and slick at how they bully. So they do it under the radar of a lot of authority figures. So we thought, now who does not get bullied in a school? Well, people that don't get bullied are the kids that have the social skills. And we wanted to find what are kids that don't bully others, that don't get bullied but also don't bully others, what do they have? So in our book, we recommend, I mean, most of the skills that we teach in our book, like changing your body language to become more confident, developing humor, for example, assertiveness. You know, it's strange, the power of humor is actually amazing at disarming bullies. My brother and I don't think we ever got bullied in high school or junior high. We were never, never like big. We were not big guys now, really, even. We're still pretty short. You know, we're not big. We were never, but humor, you know, we could launch back humor at a bully, and that disabled him immediately. So they didn't understand some of the humor half the time. You know what I mean? But so even things like humor, assertiveness, body language, and even kind of as a last resort, learning some physical self-defense skills, even if necessary. And we actually call, one of the things I think that's unique in our book to some degree is that we actually challenge the popular kids and challenge the people who have read our book and actually put the tips in action, challenge them to actually stand up for the kids that get bullied. And that's what true popularity is really about, is winning over people, bringing people into kind of your circle of influence. And if you want to be popular, you got to stand up for the people that are getting bullied. In the end, the bullies and jerks are not popular. People are afraid of them. People are afraid to say something to them. I mean, you know it. Your audience knows it. We all know people who are only in positions of power because no one's willing to stand up to them, and no one's willing to say, no one's willing to tell them the truth, basically. And everyone lives in fear of them. So we just wait, you know, and those people are not really popular. Those people are controlling and manipulative and scary. So it takes people who have the positive skills of assertiveness to stand up against those people and stand up on behalf of the people that are getting bullied.
That's
kind of our vision of that, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing that. And I also want to ask, how does popularity in high school relate to success later in life? And I know we sort of touched on this earlier, but can you elaborate on this a little bit more?
This is Jonathan, and David and I collect a lot of studies and research on this very topic because we firmly believe that, you know, helping teens become more popular in the positive sense not only impacts them in the present, but also in the future. And in terms of the present, what popularity can do for teens is there was one study that showed that they gave social skills classes to teens at a high school, and it actually increased their test scores by 11%. So the ability to socialize with others, in this case maybe the teacher, helped them increase their test scores. But there have been a lot of other very interesting studies that have shown the same thing. A few examples are, there were studies that showed that those who are more popular in the office make more money than those who are actually more technically proficient at their jobs. I mean, that's probably pretty unfair, but the study showed that. being able to get along with your colleagues and being liked by them got you raises and actually better job performance ratings than those who were technically better at doing their job. The two studies that we liked the most to show, there was one by a guy named Thomas Harrell who showed that the ability to communicate, in his words, verbal fluency, was literally the only predictor of success in a study he did of graduates from Stanford University. He looked at intelligence, he looked at background, he looked at economic class, but he found there was only one factor that showed their success or lack thereof, and it was their communication ability, which is a very fascinating study, considering that schools and parents and most people put emphasis on something like GPA, whereas he showed of people at Stanford who were the elite, Stanford's a great university, that it wasn't their intelligence, but actually their ability to communicate and network with others that made them successful. Another very important study was, it showed that 85% of financial success was due to what's called human engineering. And that was defined as personality, ability to communicate and negotiate and lead. So those factors played into 85% of financial success, whereas things like intelligence, ability, and technical knowledge only accounted for 15%. And yet, you know, what do most schools teach? It's that technical knowledge. It's testing, standardized testing. And yet, study after study shows that while all of that stuff's important, true financial and other types of success comes from social skills and the ability to connect
to connect with others, and yet we don't see anything like that in schools.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And unfortunately, we're almost out of time, so I'm just going to ask you how people can get a hold of you.
Well, they can check out our website, which is thepopularteen.com. Again, that's thepopularteen.com. And our book is The Teen Popularity Handbook, Make Friends, Get Dates, and Become Bullyproof, and that's available on Amazon.com as in print and also on Kindle. And we would love your readers to visit our website. We also have information for parents. We have a free ebook on our website on The Popular Teen for parents with ways they can help their kids become more socially successful. So we would encourage your listeners to check that out.
And are you on Facebook or Twitter or any social media?
Yes. Yes, we have a Facebook, which is just look up The Popular Teen, and our Twitter is twitter.com/ThePopularTeen.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, thank you very much, David and Jonathan. It was great to have you, and I really feel that this has brought a lot of value to our listeners. So I hope you have a great rest of the day, and everybody, you be well, and speak to you next week. Bye for now.
Thank you.